What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the DFS Army Kill Shot UFC Breakdown Podcast. We're taking a look at UFC on ESPN / UFC Atlantic City, Blanchfield Fiorro. Big main event. Title contender ladies, but not a whole lot else going on. And we're going to be breaking this thing down for you guys. With me, as always, the full DFS Army crew. We got Monk, we got Sniper, and I'm your host here to break it all down for you guys. So let's get right into this one, guys. Not the best of cards.
Wait, see, I almost jumped in the open. I got to jump in now. Name value, you're right. When you start digging into the inside the distance numbers in this card, this is going to be fun. There's going to be finishes and violence, and there's 14 fights. They're jamming in 8 or 9 fights between 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock. The pacing should actually be fucking fantastic.
Not only that, Sniper, and 100% agree. Yeah, a lot of high finish prop fights, but also a few fights with insane grapplers that will go for takedown after takedown. Merab Dewashvili, light. Saying light because
he's the only one.
Yeah. Just because you try to get the takedowns doesn't mean you're going to get them. But there's a few fighters who will endlessly go for takedowns on this card, which is always really good for DraftKings scoring. So basically the polar opposite of last week's card. Although I will say, I thought we hit the nail pretty close to on the head on last week's card as well. Really nailed the right fights to target. So that was pretty awesome as well. But we're going to jump into UFC on ESPN, Blanchfield versus Fiorro. I want to do top down, Sniper. You guys want to do a top down? Start at the top?
I'm down.
Whatever start you want to
do, I'm down.
Yeah. All right. Let's start with the main event fight here. We've got Aaron Blanchfield taking on Manon Fiorro. Blanchfield's the favorite in this one at -190 with the comeback on Fiorro +170. And this fight looks, you know, potentially destined to go to decision. It's a 5-rounder. A lot of good stuff going on here, guys. 5 rounds, female fighting. You've got both girls can grapple a little bit. Both can throw. Both are contenders. These are good fighters. So, Monk, I'll start with you. 5-round fight between women at this weight level. Seems like if it was any other card, I would have probably said lock button. But yeah, there's a lot of finishes on this card. You probably don't need to lock it in. But lock this one into cash, no?
Yeah, I completely agree. And just like last week, women's flyweight, I mean, I'm not trying to repeat myself, but I don't even mind a little cash stack if this goes all 5 rounds. Look, just from name value, if you're not, you know, digging into the stats or doing fight tape, one might think this is striker versus grappler, but that is just not the case. You alluded to both sides, you know, Fiorro's, you know, somewhat grappling, you know, obviously not as good as Blanchfield, but in Blanchfield striking is much better than what I would just call a grappler only. In her past 5 fights, I mean, 3 strikes a minute against Maverick, 6.29 against Aldrich, 7 against McCann, 7.7 against Andrade, and 4 strikes a minute against Tyla Santos. Meanwhile, Fiorro getting hit with 5 strikes a minute against Caitlin Cerminara, over 3 against Myra Buena Silva, 4 against Rose Namajunas. Yeah, honestly, I'm picking Aaron Blanchfield to probably win, but I think this line should be much, much closer than it is. And for that reason, I think it's a decent fight to cash stack. But also, I think Fiorro, you know, I'll be higher on her probably than the field, depending on what the field comes in at. I have heard a lot of love on Fiorro this week, so I'll definitely look at DFS Army ownerships before I make any decisions like that. But I'm definitely going to be, I want a big piece of this fight for sure. I think it's going to be great for cash. And the winner even has a chance to score all right as far as GPP goes. So nobody's too expensive. Nobody's, you know, and we're not even at like top 7 or 8 most expensive fighters here. So yeah, give me this fight. I love it for cash.
You liking this one, Sniper?
I'm all about this one. And I've heard a lot of the Fiorro love as well. And I'm on the opposite side in that, fuck that. Look, but I am Blanchfield. I've been calling Blanchfield top 5 entitled challenger since your UFC debut. I remember being in Madison Square Garden, making a fool of myself as all the Molly McCann lovers were cheering and I was cashing a first round submission bet or whatever that sub bet was for like some crazy number. So I've been on Blanchfield for a while. So there is maybe a little bit of bias there, but Monk kind of laid out my points in that Blanche was a better striker than people think. She held her own against Andrade. Is it her weakness? Absolutely. But I think if Blanchfield gets this fight to the ground against Fiore, I think there's some inside the distance equity here, though. If this fight gets to the ground, I think she'll submit Manon. The issue is Manon is strong. Can she get her down? Blanchfield is also a smart fighter. The age and, you know, it really is the experience and the strength. And yeah, MMA wise, they're similar in experience, but life, length of training, and other combat sports, Manon Ferreira has got the experience advantage. But again, Blanchfield, big grappling advantage. I think it's a slim advantage for Fiore on the feet. I don't mind the stack for the reason we mentioned, because there's a lot of high volatility fights. So you can stack it up in cash game, sure. There are quite a lot of dogs I do like, though. Like, I'm picking quite a few this week. But some of them are high volatility. So if you want a floor, go ahead and get Manon. But I actually don't think it's a must, because like I said, if Blanchfield gets this down early when they're dry, I think she could submit her and put her stamp on a title shot here. I'm more on the Blanchfield side, which I think is actually contrarian, as Monk alluded to. A lot of love out there for Fiore. So I had to lay out my Blanchfield bias at the start, but I think there's some value here, and I have like five or six plays I like for a bet this week. It's kind of crazy. This is one I'm eyeing. I'm seeing if Fiore, if money comes in on Manon and that line drops probably anywhere below minus 140 to 145 for Blanchfield, that's probably about where I'll be pulling the trigger.
Nice. Yes. So I'm a little different. I did bet Fiore. I do think she wins this fight, and primarily because, yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it. I believe she is a slightly better striker than Blanchfield. Blanchfield improving all the time, but she's young. She's young. Up and coming. I was not crazy impressed. I mean, I thought JJ Aldrich was out striking her in that fight. So, you know, at me if you disagree.
That was a while ago, wasn't it?
No, not that long ago. The Aldrich fight was 2022. So, I mean, she's young and she's improving.
Yeah.
So, but that's what I saw when I watched that fight. And I mean, the fights since then have been a little bit, weird, but the main thing for me is Manon, 90-something% takedown deep. The girl stops the takedown, and Blanchfield is not that great at getting the fight to the ground. She's good in her jiu-jitsu, is no joke, but getting it to the ground is not her specialty. She's not that good at it, and I think that Manon will keep this fighting standing, and even if she gets taken down, I think she's good enough to get back up. I just think there's a big difference in women's MMA between someone like, I don't know, Brogan Walker or Molly McCann on the ground, for example, compared to somebody who actually knows what they're doing on the ground. And yes, Blanchfield submitted Molly Meatball real quick. Good luck with Fiore. That's not how it's going to go. So give me five rounds of striking. And I think Fiore ekes out a decision. I'm always going to, it's at best, it should be a 50-50 fight. I don't get why I would ever lay chalk on, it's just a bad idea to take favorites that are female. Sniper, you know better than that. You do know better than to take a woman fighter at minus 180.
Tip. Yeah. Oh, I'm not taking her. I'm looking for minus 140 and below, but different at the lower levels of women's MMA. I believe Blanchfield to be a legit top three title challenger. And at that level, I think it stops getting as screwy as it is down in the top 30, where there's just fucking nobody.
I mean,
and Manon Ferreira was taken down by Jennifer Maia. Like, giant, huge red flag to me.
All right. I remember JJ Aldrich stopping all the takedowns from Blanchfield. Yep, so, like,
we're going to find out. 22 versus 24-year-old Blanchfield. How much has she improved?
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Don't know. We're going to find out. That's why there are lines on these things.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. So that's your main event. And like DraftKings, just again, five rounds, you always play that in cash. You always want to play fighters from this fight in sort of like not the biggest contest, because you want those points, you want the floor. But I think as we go through this card, we'll see that there are lots of potential finishes and so many live dogs that, again, salary may not be as important as it always is. Not sure. Maybe. We'll find out as we go through this card. Stick around. All right, next up, Vicente Luque taking on Joaquin Buckley. Now, Sniper, I don't know if this is one of those inside the distance. Yeah, I mean, minus 190.
Yeah, this is on the low side. There's a lot of minus 500s and above.
These two guys are pretty freaking tough, and they're going to throw fist and the whole deal. So it's a pick 'em fight. Luque, Buckley, minus 190 to end inside the distance. Let's see. Luque inside the distance, a much better plus 135. Joaquin inside the distance, a less good plus 225. Monk, is there any reason for optimism on the scoring here outside of an early finish?
Yeah. The minus 190 is kind of throwing me for a loop because originally I'm not really looking to play this fight for GPPs. And in cash, I don't know how much I'm looking to play it either, to be quite honest. I'm seeing, I don't know about you guys, nothing but Joaquin Buckley love this week against.
Yeah, I'm going to shit Luque. All really? Over that. I'm going to shit all over that.
So many people.
Everybody.
Really? Yeah, everyone. I'm picking Vicente Luque because I don't Thank see you. It. I'd be happy Thank to you. Be wrong, but I'm picking Luque. He outscores him everywhere except for inside the distance, but Buckley doesn't spend a ton of time inside the distance. And the upside for Luque is much better than it is for Buckley, who surprisingly has not scored a round one victory in the UFC yet. And he's only averaging 92.6 points per win. Luque scores better at 108.74. So when he's winning, he's definitely, putting up way better points. 80% of his UFC wins are over 100 points. So that's what I'm looking for. The upside here at 8,200, the cheapest favorite on the card. I cannot believe people. I mean, I'm excited to get Luque for 8,200 in my lineups. I am concerned about the scoring, how he scores in a decision, but I mean, the 109 basically points per win is huge. 80% over 100 is another one. So I'm going to definitely be on the Luque side. And I just got to not let all of the outside voices like sway. I'm on the Luque side and I just got to not be swayed by that. So yeah, I'm going to go with that. Buckley, I think he can win, but in a win, what's it look like, man? Like you said, Luque's tough as hell. Both guys are. And if we're talking decision, we're looking at 80, 85 points. I'm not excited about that.
I am shocked, guys, to hear that there's this big sentiment.
Yeah.
Or Buckley, who the hell has Buckley ever beaten?
Was it the highlight knockout or Impa Kasangane, the PFL champ? But
I did get to show that to my kids, though. So thank you for that, Buckley. I got to show that to my kids today, and they were just like, oh.
I mean, it was cool. Look, I'm going to, Monk, if somebody starts to sway you off of Vicente Luque, just listen, just try and remember what I'm about to say. All of these words.
Chris Curtis knocked out Buckley, and is that all you need to keep telling yourself?
No, that's true. That is true.
that is true.
Telling you about that.
Vicente Luque, I've already bet him at minus 115. That was already locked that in. Look, Vicente Luque loses to killers. Jeff Neal probably got into a fire. I think that was an ego firefight, but great. Bilal Muhammad going to be fighting for a championship soon. Steven Thompson, big ass problems. Leon Edwards, that's all his losses since 2017. Those are his three UFC losses outside of his debut in 2015, where he made a mistake and got against Mike Graves. I think he got backpack in that one, if I remember right. But that was in 2015. Just beat RDA. He loses to legit guys. The only argument I can accept here is that Luque takes a lot of damage and is fading. That's your whole reason for it? At minus 115, I'll still take that odds. 3 years ago, Vicente Luque in this fight is minus 400.
Easy.
We're just going off of, okay, Bilal beat him and Jeff Neal knocked him out and he beat RDA. You think RDA is a joke? Like, I don't understand.
He handled RDA too. I was so sad.
I don't get it. And you got...
Can I add, Sniper, that I think RDA smokes Joaquin Buckley also.
Exactly.
Same.
RDA would be minus 200 today against Joaquin Buckley. Like now.
And he lost to Nassourdine Imavov. If Luque in a firefight, I think Luque is more dangerous. If Luque decides to grapple, he's going to darce choke Buckley.
Exactly.
The only thing that happens here is the same thing, and it's possible because it's MMA, is that he gets into a firefight. He wants to be fun. I get it. And Buckley does have power. Is it viable? Sure. But minus 115 at 8,200. Yeah. Sign me up. And if Buckley beats me, okay. But I don't see it any other way.
I'm going to give you an interesting bet for this one because I fully agree. I got nothing more to add. I'm glad that you guys are both on the Luque side. I am too. I don't really get it. I'm shocked. When I saw the line, I was like, huh? What the hell is this? Buckley is kind of at the low end of somebody who can kind of smash kind of a mediocre. And I think Buckley is live for the knockout only, which is why the play here is Luque by decision inside the distance, no action, plus inside the distance, no action, which you can get. I need to find that. You know what? I can't even find the bet. I thought I had it in front of me here, but that would be the safe play because I don't see Buckley winning any other way but a flash knockout. His volume is so much lower than Luque's. I think he's a less good grappler. If he goes to, I think Luque is actually going to win by submission here. I think it's going to be one of those weird ones where you're not expecting it. And Luque actually grapples and wins by submission. Luque by submission plus 475. I would do that as a little thing. But I love your bet, Sniper. And I shall be tailing it.
Go to whatever book offers submission, specific submissions and lock in that Darce.
Oh, like, yeah, I don't know what book that is. I don't know. You being in Texas, you're operating on some sketchy books, my man.
I hate those, Monk. I dislike those. The first time I ever bet one, I bet a Darce, and the guy hit an Anaconda, which is just the arm in on the other side. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding.
Yeah. Fuck that. I'm not getting that. That's just too much. But, like, the other thing is try getting your – like, the betting site, it has, like, .asmldfs semicolon at the end of it. Like, it's not that, you know, good luck getting that money. Like,
where the hell is this book?
But yes, all right, we are all in agreement. A kill shot special, Vicente Luque. I've got another underdog coming up that I kind of like, and
he's not even a dog. I got three dogs to pick still.
I may have bet the underdog in this next fight. We've got Bruno Silva taking on Chris Weidman. I'm not going to say what happened here, but there may be a bet out there right now on my boy Chris Weidman, who is plus 195. Comeback on Bruno Silva, minus 230. Is Weidman over the hill? I think so. I think he might be.
Yeah.
But
Hate the bet, though. I thought about it. About this one. I didn't do it.
You got to play Weidman. He's going to win. I'll tell you why. But fight ends inside the distance, minus 275. This is a fight that I truly do think is likely to be a finish at some point or another. And it's probably going to be Weidman getting finished late in the fight, you know, if I'm keeping it real, right? But, you know, early Weidman is going to be looking good in this one. Bruno Silva cannot stop. He is not a grappler. Despite the name, the dude is not a good grappler. That's all I'm saying. And Weidman will get him down in the first round. And the line after Weidman wins the first round is going to go from plus 200 to minus 200.
That's when you bet Silva, though.
When you can now hedge your bet.
That's when you bet Silva.
That's correct. This is why you do it pre-fight.
As somebody who bet Weidman against Jacare, I'm fucking having flashbacks.
Weidman wins the first round. I don't know if he's going to win the fight. He might. Weidman wins the first round. And if you didn't bet Weidman and he wins the first round, now you've got Silva at plus 200 odds. That's when you take Silva. Now, this could all go wrong and Weidman can get knocked the fuck out in 3 seconds. Like, that dude is glass. But I think that might be, I'm not sure. It may be overblown. It may be overblown. And when I say it may be, I'm not sure. It's because Weidman did last to decision against Tavares. Didn't get knocked out. He survived.
You got to remember, you got the thing everyone's saying about this too is USADA. USADA, Chris Weidman. Is he back?
Yeah. Yes, he is. Well, let me ask you a question, Sniper. I was in college, right? And my bros were fucking shooting, taking needles of androstenedione just
your
so they
bros.
Could. Not me. My bros were taking needles of androstenedione just so that they could look ripped for the ladies. Okay. And look big at the gym. There was no money involved. There was no athleticism at all. There was no UFC fight. There was no, if you knock somebody out, you're going to be paid $100,000 next week. There was none of that. It was just looking good for the chicks. You don't think that UFC fighters who have their career on the line are going to, well, they're worried about their health? Why wouldn't they be taking the roids? And what does the steroids do? It invigorates you. A 39-year-old becomes 29 years old.
Does something to you.
Listen, I'm 40. I'm in my late 40s at this point. You feel the lack of the testosterone that you had when you were 25. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel it. Okay. Look, here's me at night. I've got a headache.
Wait, is that you or my wife?
That's what I'm saying. It flips. I'm like, no, I'm too tired. That's all I'm saying, guys. All right, enough with that. Monk,
some first Weidman, world problems you got there.
I know. Listen, first world problems. Weidman, widely known as a great takedown artist.
Very true. But let's be honest. If Chris Weidman is on some good steroids, then what the hell would you call the steroids that Bruno Silva is going to show up with? I mean, this dude in the Brazilian steroids, Jesus. Yeah, I think this has good potential doctors for Chris Weidman to get finished in the first round. He probably should have been finished, but Brad Tavares can't finish anything. A glass of milk, whatever the cliche you want to use. Weidman couldn't even walk, dude. I mean, if Tavares kicks him like one to two more times, that shit is over. I don't know. I mean, Silva doesn't have terrible takedown defense. It's at like 73%. So above 70 is where I'm like, okay, that's decent. You know what I mean? So that's not terrible. I'm going with Silva here. I commend your brass balls for the Weidman bet, and I will be rooting for it for sure. But I just think Silva can get it done. I think he has round one potential, so this fight is a good GPP fight. I have trouble getting to Weidman even on like a punt, outside of anything but a punt play, to be honest. The Tavares fight didn't, he was in there in that third round, you could tell the pain was getting to him and that was really fueling him. But if Tavares is anyone else but Tavares, that fight is over with. So
just reminder though, Monk, reminder number one, that was his first fight back after the extreme leg break.
That is true.
So, you know, forgive
him. He did outstrike Tavares, but Tavares has no freaking volume.
Didn't Tavares win by knockout against his next opponent? But that might have been his only finish ever. But the other thing for me is the roids.
I think they both come in here roided up. Let's battle bots, man. Let's get it going.
I'll take Chris Weidman's skills roided up over Bruno Silva's sheer brutality. But like I said, I think you're probably more right than wrong more often than not that this finishes by Silva finish. I am not disagreeing with that. I kind of think it's, even though I bet it, I'm betting it because I don't think it's 2-1
right
that will happen. What do you think, Sniper?
It should be noted, Silva just lost to a freaking one-eyed guy. So take with everything I said with a grain of salt.
That's the problem is you got two guys who are probably going to be juiced up again. Cool. Two guys who are both have lost four of their last five fucking fights. They both have done that. This is just high variance at its best. But and that's why I was like, man, Weidman, it should be closer. You got to be thinking he's coming towards the end of his career. He's fighting near his hometown. Silva's not good. They're trying, but the problem is everybody at 185 can fucking crack. They're big dudes. 185 is not like heavyweight where everybody can crack. 185 is they're big and faster. Like, it's fucking scary. Like, to me, 185 and 205, an in-shape 205er, those two weight classes, in-shape guys, are the scariest motherfuckers on the planet. Not that they all couldn't whoop my ass, but Dustin Poirier, yeah, great fighter. Can Alex Pereira, horrifying human being. Standing next to Jamal Hill, angry, horrifying human being. These guys are big. And that's just the problem is Weidman's got to eat shots in this fight because he's got to get it down quickly. This is years ago. I was at Weidman Gastelum, and Gastelum was hurting Weidman, and Weidman had to get the fight to the ground, and he did and got his submission. But he got dropped a couple times in that fight in Long Island. Like, if he gets hit, it's just always a problem these days. And respect to him, dude's a legend, gonna be a Hall of Famer. but all the intangibles on how I think Silva's not good. That's why I said I almost pulled the trigger on the Weidman bet. I will have both sides of this fight. It is a good GPP fight. If you go near this in cash games, fucking just God bless, man.
Don't touch it in cash, but
I wouldn't go there. But
the spectacular DFS fights do not stop. It just gets more and more. This whole card is like exploding with them. Absolutely. And it's part of the fun of this card. I'm looking forward to it. It's funny. It's such an obscure card. No one wants to watch this shit, but
I'm super happy I'm going to be there.
It's going to be fun to go see. And it's, I would try to have bets on all as many of the fights as possible because that makes it more fun to watch.
I got a craps table at Caesars first and wander over the sportsbook cage, put $100 down on each fight.
Yeah.
Got to do something like that. This next fight is spectacular. Guys, this fight features a guy who averages 11 takedowns per 15 minutes.
That's a lot.
Is this Merab? And he's up against an opponent who can't stop a takedown. Are you serious right now? I don't know what's going on with the odds on this fight, but Nursultan Ruzboyev is taking on Cedric Dumas. Now, if you remember who Cedric Dumas is,
you want to hear something crazy? You want to hear something crazy? Because I know where you're going with this. I've heard a lot of people taking Dumas, Cedricus as a dog.
Same.
I know. Look what's happening at the line. That's what I'm saying. The line, everybody's betting Cedric. I don't get it. I don't know what's happening. This is a weird one, but understand, this is a guy, Cedric Dumas, who is like a quote-unquote street fighter, Jorge Masvidal-style guy who's, you know, they're hyping him for the UFC. They want him to do well. He's got some charisma, whatever, right? I think his UFC debut looked ugly. Fremd, yeah. But Fremd is decent. And then he's had a couple of wins against the lowest of the low. Cody Brundage, trash. Abu Azaitar, trash can.
And in his free time, he's getting arrested. So that's fun.
Yeah, and he's, it's fair. Right? He's taking on this. All right, so let's just take a look at this guy, right? Nursultan. He's got a win against Bruno Ferreira in the UFC. That's an impressive win, actually. And, beat a bunch of scrubs on his way to the UFC. Like in these weird random fighting champions, but he's basically what he looks like. He's one of those insane. Look at the Monk. Take me through these numbers, because look at this.
Yeah, it's wild. The 11. Well, that number is crazy because the Fajeda fight lasted a minute and 15 seconds.
Yeah,
and he landed one takedown. So if you extrapolate that, you get the 11 number. So it's kind of, you gotta like get that out of there, but that does not discredit the fact that he is a takedown machine. He's very good at it. Obviously, with a name like that, I mean, you know, that's just what I would assume that you're good at doing. And he has a shitload of professional fights. You know, who knows if they're cans? I'm sure most of them are. But 45 professional fights is fantastic. Where Dumas sitting at just 10.
As pointing out, he's the same. They're not different in age.
No, not Dumas is like, a year and a half.
Yeah, it's not like
younger, basically.
There's an old, young situation
happening. Yeah, this isn't like a 45-year. This isn't like, Mark Coleman or Couture or anybody like that.
Like, this dude's 30. Yeah. He's in his prime. This is not some over-the-hill.
And he's huge, man. He's 6'4", 76-inch reach. Like, he's a giant Russian dude, basically. Who has ridiculous takedown skills. Dumas, less than unimpressive. You lose to Josh Fremd in the manner that he lost to Josh Fremd. It's not good. Then he's beaten, like you said, not the best competition. And when he does win, he's scoring 78 in a decision, 63 against Abu Azaitar in a decision. Like, what are we doing? He controlled Cody Brundage for 75% of that fight, and the dude scores 78 points. Like, give me a break. I'm not looking. I mean, if Cedric Dumas beats me this week, then that's what's going to happen, because I'm not going to have much of him. I'm putting it all on black. That's his nickname, Nursultan Ruzaboyev.
Yeah.
Putting it all on black this week. Not all of it, but you know what I mean. Figure of speech. I'm going for him in GPPs. I probably don't mind him in cash. I think he's like 9,200. So there's three guys more expensive than him. So I don't mind him there. And I'll be playing him in GPPs, probably playing him in a couple of cash lineups too. But I like him this week against Dumas. I just don't trust Dumas to fight the best fight against Ruzaboyev. And even if he does, I don't trust him to score very well.
You guys didn't even mention the best part of this fight. It's minus 600 to end inside the distance.
Oh, yeah. Minus.
Fucking Jesus. Ridiculous.
Ruzaboyev's got like 11 KOs and 20 yeah. subs or something.
I'm all about Ruzaboyev. He is on my notes. He is the core play. He is the reason I don't want or need a ton of Bill Algeo, Malkoon.
Yes.
So, like, you can effectively lock button this on this card.
I agree.
Yeah,
I can go 75-25 and I'll be, it's way more Cedricus than I do want. Maybe 70-25, leave myself the eye poke out, but I love this fight. And if it beats me, how does this fight beat? You know, the way this fight beats you is Ruzaboyev wrestle flexed him for two rounds and Cedricus lands an uppercut in round three and scores 55. That's the way this fight beats you. But for the most part, it's a big number.
I don't understand who's betting on, Dumas or why. I would like to figure that out.
I believe our boy Die Hard MMA is on Cedricus. I believe
That's not
moving. Well, he's not on Cedricus. He has like seven fucking units on Cedricus.
Yeah.
Oh, he
says this is like Ty's his biggest bet of all time. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying that's wow.
He's been crushing those seven unit all in play. So that's what I'm saying. I something about the fact that people are seeing something. I don't know what they're seeing or liking something here. I don't know that is making me second guess this, but beyond that second guessing, I don't really get it at all. I think Dumas doesn't even really try to stop a takedown. He is easy to take down. He does try to reverse them, but he doesn't try to stop the takedown. And this other lunatic is going to be going for takedown after takedown. I don't get it, but to me it's a classic smash spot on DraftKings, and I'm not gonna be skipping it because of some weird line movement. But if the line continues to move, you know, eyebrow will go up a little higher. Curious why, don't know what's going on, but I love the fight. And I love specifically Ruzaboyev. By the way, is Dumas, like, it's minus 600. Sniper, are you taking Dumas in your non-Ruzaboyev lineups?
Yeah, I am.
And I have to.
It's interesting. It's going to be an interesting balance of him versus the dogs I'm picking to win straight up. I'm not going to know for sure until I start building, but I'm not fading Dumas.
Dumas inside the distance, plus 300. Ruzaboyev inside the distance, minus 210.
Sheesh.
Or minus 175 on the sharper book. So, you know, 2-1 that he wins this one inside the distance. So many great fights on this card. Next up, we've got Bill Algeo taking on Kyle Full Nelson. Algeo minus 236 as the favorite. Comeback on Nelson, plus 200. And this is that one fight that doesn't look that sexy on paper. Minus 200 to go the distance. Now, Monk, this is a Monk special here. Is there any reason that we need to be fucking around with a fight like this? Minus 200 to go to decision with a couple of guys that I'm not sure are like heavy with the grappling.
Yeah, I mean, Algeo is relatively, I mean, if it gets there, he's obviously the better grappler. He's not a bad striker either. I mean, he's landed 7.3 against Hernandez, almost 10 strikes a minute against TJ Brown. That fight lasted over 6 minutes, 5 strikes a minute against Feely. So he should be the slightly bigger, slightly longer fighter here, and he should be the one fighter with some DraftKings upside. That said, I do another show earlier in the week where we pick fights to fade. I only found two this week, and this was one of them. To be honest, for GPPs, I see this one going. I'm right with the book here, man. I think it's going to decision. I think the winner scores 80, 90 points. And if Kyle Nelson somehow wins, I think it's going to be much, much lower than that. Nelson's 1-2 in a row, 62 and 63 points. So very consistent, just not on the end of the spectrum you want his scores to be on. So I guess if you're going to make me pick an upside for GPPs, it's obviously going to be Senor Perfecto, Bill Algeo. And even a Kyle Nelson decision does not excite me, even at 7,100. Could be something sneaky, and he scores 65, 70 points and somehow makes a ridiculous optimal. But I don't think that's going to happen twice in a row. So give me Bill Algeo here. But I mean, I don't mind it for cash. But even so, I don't mind or I don't like the final scores that I'm seeing in my head for either of these guys.
Yeah, I don't know about I don't know that I'd be interested.
Even cash is just pay the extra $100 and go with Ruzaboyev.
You gotta get the stud. Yeah, I mean they're there. It's waiting for you. Yeah,
he's too expensive this week.
Yeah. What do you think, Sniper? Any reason to fuck with this one?
I'm picking Algio, and that Nelson will be in more of my lineups. It's kind of, I don't got a beat on it. I think Algio's a little better. Don't think it scores well. Nelson live, sure. I can't quite get there to pick him, but he's the guy I'd prefer to play. It's that simple. There's no reason to keep harping on. You guys have covered this one pretty well.
Yeah, I think Algio is somebody that, you know, I would bet on him. I think even at minus 200, I think there's some value there. Maybe 230, maybe it's gotten a little past it, but he's somebody I would bet on, but not a DraftKings play, in my opinion. All right, let's move on to next up, another close fight. And I'm excited to see the odds on this one to end inside the distance. But Chidi Njokwani taking on Reese McKee.
I put out a good tweet about this fight earlier in the week.
Reese McKee fancied himself a sort of a Connor clone at one point. Or no, was that? No, maybe it was somebody else. I feel like
Ian Gary's trying to do it.
Ian Gary.
Now Ian Gary's not pulling it off, but I think Reese McKee is like a fake-ass version of that. Or he might have been, unless I'm mistaken who I'm thinking about here. But Chidi, minus 141. The fight ends inside the distance is a massive, explosive, must play so many shares of this fight, minus 500. So, I mean, that's as good as it gets. Monk, this is not an expensive fight. It's middling salaries. Minus 500 to end inside the distance. Let's dive a little deeper. And Njokwani inside the distance, minus 110. Mm-hmm. But the underdog, McKee, inside the distance, plus 165. Both really good odds. They're giving Chidi a 50% shot of an inside the distance finish, and McKee probably, if he wins, about the same chances to do it inside the distance. So what else can you tell us about these guys?
Yeah, that's for good. All those numbers have good reason behind them, but I would say the Chidi to make weight is probably going to be about plus 330. This fight is at 170. And I can't say any of what I'm about to, the next sentence is substantiated because I haven't personally checked, but I read on Twitter that Chidi has missed weight upwards of eight times at 170 before he finally went up to middleweight. And apparently he looked super bad on several of those. So this is definitely a wait till tomorrow morning. Find out what the hell Chidi weighs in it. This dude could come in at like 180 or 177. You know what I mean? Like, who even knows? And if he does make weight, what does he look like? So I won't say much more. This is obviously a Chidi very early knockout against Reese McKee, who may or may not be able to be trusted. And if it's not Chidi early, it's because he has a terrible weight cut or he is completely gassed out and then Reese McKee will finish him. So I like this. I think this is a very good fight to play for GPPs. I'll be on both sides. Salaries are great at 86 and 76, very middle of the road. So yeah, be sure to check out the weigh-ins tomorrow before you make any big decisions.
Sniper, how do you feel about this fight in general?
And I think I'm picking Reese McKee. I think.
I thought you were going. Why? You going Reese?
I don't. I'm going to wait till the scale for sure. Yeah, but the I don't scale, trust Chidi, man.
The scale is the concern, but you look at the skill set between them.
Like, these guys are bad.
Like somebody tweeted, why is Chidi minus 140? Does he have polio? And I laughed and they went, wait, does Chidi Njokwani have polio? Because look at his losses. You say he's bad. Mikhail Oleksijchuk, big guy, used to fight at 205, that kind, you know, with decent power. I'm not afraid of the power coming back at him in this fight from Reese McKee. Duraev, split decision, grappler, RoboCop. Beat Dusko Todorovic. The win over MAB is a good win. Like, I'm not saying he's great.
That's probably his only good win, though.
Reese McKee, but click on Reese McKee. Reese McKee is a Cage Warrior scrub.
There's plenty of
good guys from Cage Warrior. Reese McKee is not one of them. He lost to Angel Lusa, who just looked for a way out of the cage last week. Got you know, not gonna hold Chimaev against him, but the Morono loss isn't great. And his wins, Jim Wallhead, I think, retired after that fight. Chidi Njokwani, I think, is a step up from Reese McKee in terms of skill. The concern is the scale. Is this fight going to happen? It's why I'm not building until tomorrow evening to see what's going to happen. And is Chidi going to be so depleted that even he gets in the cage, he's half a version of himself? I think those are the ways Reese wins this fight, because I just think Chidi is actually better everywhere. And it's been a while since he's been that in a fight, but I do think that applies here. And it's worth mentioning, having the UFC PI at your disposal, cutting that weight, is way different than trying to do it on your own at the regional scene. Let's see if he can do it. Maybe he'll hack off one of his legs, but regardless, I think Chidi's better.
Chidi's better. He's got real wins. Reese has yet to win in the UFC. He has 3 losses. Again, don't have to hold like a Kazmet Chimaev loss against him, but he hasn't exactly lit it up. Here's the thing. The real question for me in this fight is, yes, it's minus 500 to end inside a distance, and I get that's super high odds. First of all, my first thing is I would certainly, if I was betting, I would not bet them. I would not lay minus 500. I would much rather be on the opposite side of that, betting this fight goes to decision. So not that I'm betting that, but like that's the side I would definitely be looking to bet if I had to, just because minus 500 is crazy. And I'm not convinced that somebody's getting knocked out in this fight. But with that being said, minus 500 odds means it is very likely that somebody gets knocked out. And I think it's going to be Chidi doing the knocking out of Reese McKee here. So I will be on the Chidi side for this one.
It's hard to get a lot of this fight. I don't want a lot of this fight. It's,
I mean, at minus 500, you basically have to get.
Well, I know.
Let's see what the rest of the card holds. But understanding the reason I said that, Monk, was because it's not like these guys are doing anything outside of knocking each other out that scores very well. Neither one of them is doing.
And Chidi's a gas bag. If he doesn't do this in the first round, you're going to get nothing out of nothing. The Duraev fight went to split. I'd love to look at his round 2, round 3 stats.
But again, the Duraev is going to wear you out. Reese McKee is not doing that either. Reese McKee is not pushing you. You've seen Duraev fight. It's in the clinch the whole time. There's very little standing around. Reese McKee's Mr. Skeletor. He's just standing around. He's trying to throw fists like Max Holloway out there. Except terribly.
Yeah.
It's like a very bad version of it. There's no grappling. There's no clinching.
There's no defense, that's for sure.
Yeah. Terrible version of it. All right, let's move on. Let's see how many other fights are locked in at this point, and maybe we can fade some of these. Nate Landwehr taking on Jamal Emmers. I feel like we just saw Nate Landwehr fight, but yet here he is again. Maybe I'm confused. Emmers coming in at minus 170. Landwehr plus 150. Fight goes the distance, minus 120. It's not great. It's not great. Another 50-50 to go the distance. I'm assuming Landwehr inside the distance, plus 300. Emmers plus 200. So they think that if Landwehr wins, it's probably going to be inside the distance, where Emmers, a little more leaning towards he would win by decision. Let's pull up the recent histories here. But Monk, how do you see this one going down? Nate Landwehr, when didn't we see him recently?
He fought last June against Ige, and he got smashed.
Oh, it's been a while. Okay, so yeah, understandably, smashed, think he would lose to Dan Ige. So, right. Jamal Emmers here, good fighter, solid guy. I don't know. This is a tough one.
Surprisingly, Emmers, with his 3 UFC wins, 2 of the 3 are over 100 points, which did kind of surprise me. Scored 108 against Cachero, 130 against Bazookia in a shocking first minute win. Then only scored 71 against Kusain Askabov, so not great. Landwehr's beaten Austin Lingo, meh. David Onama, meh. And Ludovic Klein, probably. Onama's not a meh. Klein and Onama are
decent. And honestly, yeah, Ludovic Klein, that's a great win.
Yeah, exactly. He's and he's putting up okay points there. He's 102 out of 3. So
got a win over Elkins.
Yeah, that's also true. I think this one could be sneaky. He did get KO'd by Julian Arosa, which you never want to see.
And Herbert and Herbie Burns, which is not.
Yeah, you know, not good. Not good there.
So like tough one.
Nate is good on the mic afterwards, so I probably am rooting for him to win, but I don't know if he can get it done, man. I think this one could be potentially sneaky at 89 and 73. I don't think a ton of people are going to be targeting this fight in particular, just because there's so many huge inside the distance numbers. So I think you could go, I might be trying to get a little bit over the field here. I'm personally on the Emmer side. I think he does get it done by decision. Would not be surprised if Landwehr just turned on, you know, turned the aggression to 11 after he's getting hit in the face several times and makes this an absolute banger. I just don't know how it scores, but the fact that both of them, two out of their last three wins, over 100 points, in fact, mostly well over 100 points, I think I'd like to be just a little bit over the field. I'm not going to go crazy, but I'm hoping for a sneaky play here, I think.
I like it.
Also,
like
it should be mentioned, guys nicknamed the Train are like 0-3 or 0-4 in 2024. So Nate Landwehr's got some work to do.
Not a good nickname for 2024.
Yeah, not at all.
Who knew that? You know, Monk, you're full of stats and thought nuggets here.
That's right.
Well, guess what, guys? Guys nicknamed the Train are about to be 1-4. I'm gonna go ahead and pick Nate Landwehr straight up. Embers is fine. I think Landwehr's gonna drag him into deep waters and fucking drown him. Landwehr has that dog in him. The Embers is cleaner, sure. I think the Landwehr pressure is going to get to him. Regardless, Emmer's at 8,900 with Blanchfield right below and some of the fighters we've already listed higher up. Not much interest in. Unless the only way Emmer scores big is if Emmer's gets frustrated and gets idiotic trying to close a distance and does get himself knocked out. But I think the forward pace and pressure is going to be too much for Emmer's. I like Landwehr as a dog play, probably my favorite.
Your favorite dog on the card? Whoa, yeah. That's a big statement. That's bold.
It's. I think he wins. I've always been down on Emmer's. What is it, 34 versus 35? You know what? Age wise, pretty even.
Loss to Chidi. What the hell was that guy's name? The kickboxer Giga Jakadze. Ever since that, he let us down.
Yeah, Giga's good. I just think Landwehr's going to make an ugly, ugly fight and turn out with a good score. He's also, even if you don't think Landwehr wins, he's clearly the one with the more DraftKings optimal lineup potential. Clearly. If he wins his fight, he's more than likely in the optimal. Emmers can win 10 different ways, not even touching the optimal lineup. So I love Landwehr for DraftKings too.
To further your point, I was going to say, I have no interest in Emmers on this card. No interest. Other than Monk, the crazy, some shit went down and he scored 100 a couple times, just whatever. He got it done. So, but outside of that, I mean, more expensive. We've already gone through all of these incredible, sexy, like lock button to score massive high priced fighters. And then here you have Emmers, who's hanging out at 8,900 in that weird zone under 9K. But you're right. He doesn't have that dog in him, as you said, Sniper. You know, Emmers is a little bit passive, a little bit more technical, and probably going to win this fight by decision. But Landwehr is much more interesting. He's just more interesting. He could finish this guy. What are you saying, Monk?
And much cheaper at 7,300, too.
Yeah. The pay-ups on this card are insane. You don't want to waste it. Mm-hmm. On Emmers, and the only reason really to play Emmers at that point is ownership, and ownership's as good of a reason as you need to play anybody, so I don't fault anybody, but for me, I'm out. I like the Landwehr side for DraftKings purposes, but I do still think that it's probably more likely Emmers wins this by decision. All right, Verna Jandroba taking on Lupi Godinez. Everybody, very controversial fight here. Lupi's always controversial. Looks like a different person in the ring every time she goes out. Sometimes she's awesome. Sometimes she stinks. I don't know why. But Lupi is a minus 230 favorite. And again, if you were betting her, you're a wild person and wilder than me. It is minus 270 on this fight to go to decision, meaning we are looking at three rounds of violence.
Yeah, violence is a loose term.
No. I wouldn't want to be in there with either of these girls. I would go three rounds with Lupi in the sack.
Yeah, that was just a softball. I wasn't going to say it, but you know, you do you, big guy.
Anyway.
Proud of yourself right now?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, somebody else take over.
Yeah, so look, Loopy is, this line is crazy. There's value in Jandihoba. This is one of the lines I was eyeing at to bet, and I'm going to pick Jandihoba straight up. Come down to a pretty simple breakdown. Loopy is best when she's grappling. You don't want to do that here, or you will get submitted. I know Loopy's good, but I think Jandihoba has got better BJJ. I think she can land sweeps, reversals. Loopy's got some decent top pressure, and maybe I'm wrong. She can get on top and dominate, but what even last one?
That's so true. And that doesn't even have anything to do with her grappling or other capabilities. Just
he'd,
like
he'd get a headache real quick.
Yeah, one round is all I have in me, no matter what.
Yeah, like Loopy could win, sure, but I think her best path to winning in her fights is the wrestling, and I don't think she should do that here. Beard is good. I think honestly, it's just a matter of the line is too wide, and I don't have much interest in Loopy. There's other favorites I prefer. So for me, I'm on Jandihoba.
Let's see the takedown. So yeah, isn't Loopy like what she does well is grappling, right? That's what
we all thought that in that one fight she showed up and didn't fucking grapple at all.
Yeah, I think that was Angela Hill. That was a disaster. That's why I'm like, you don't know what you're getting. But was that the Hill? Yeah, the Hill loss, no less. But Verna, let's see what she's up to. She's just as heavy of a grappler. She's averaging 2.5 takedowns. Like, Monk, do you think that Loopy is going to not go for takedown? Like, what is the thought here? Why is Loopy such a large favorite when her specialty is grappling and she's up against a counter grappler? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, probably mostly because of optics, I'm sure. No pun intended with Verna. She
that was fucking
last crazy. Fought.
Somebody,
I had
somebody
to.
With a lazy eye as well. I gotta say, fuck you, buddy.
She last fought May 6th against Marina Rodriguez. So I mean, it's been quite a while. Almost a year. I guess not quite a while. Almost
and
a
she
year.
Beat Marina, who is badass.
Beat her. Yeah. Loopy's fought. This is her 11th fight since 2021. She might be the most active fighter in all of the UFC. I'd have to look at that, which I do find somewhat interesting. But outside of her inside the distance scoring, which just like you guys said, who knows what we're going to get? She is not really scoring much. I mean, she's doing a lot on the ground when she gets there, but she's not hitting. I mean, she's averaging 99 per win, which is okay. It's not great. It's not, you know, terrible. Jandihoba only gives up 79 per loss. Godinez only gives up 66 when she loses. This was the second fight I had on fights to fade in my category. I'm not too interested in it. I'm probably picking Godinez, but I think it's much closer to a coin flip than the odds would suggest. And I would definitely not be surprised if Verna won, but I would be surprised if one of these women made it on the optimal lineup. So I'm not going to go as far as sniper, even though I could see it happening. I will pick Godinez by decision in a very close fight, but I always like rooting for Verna, man. I kind of like Verna. I don't know. I just like rooting for her, and she wears an awesome hat. So fuck it. Maybe I'll switch. Fuck it right here live. I'll switch to Verna. I'll switch it to Verna here. And yeah, just not interested in DraftKings though too much.
Last time Monk talked himself into a pick, it was Max Griffin, and it was fantastic. So
that's true.
It works out.
Also, didn't pay off on DraftKings though.
I may have already bet on Verna. I can't remember. Like I bet a bunch of these underdogs, and now now I'm starting to lose memory of who. But Verna is on that list of I think you can bet her as an underdog. Understand, even if I bet on Verna as an underdog, that doesn't mean I definitely think she's going to win. But like, I don't think I think this is a close fight. I would never. That's why I said at the beginning. If you're, what are you smoking crack? Who the fuck would bet on Loopy here -240? I don't understand that. I don't. Have you not watched MMA, women's MMA? Have we not seen this? Like,
or any this Loopy one is a fights?
Grapple? Yeah, and it could go anyway. If it's 50-50, you got to take the plus. Got to take the plus, man, to double your money. So, like, you know, be right on this 2 out of 3 times or you know, 2 out of 5, and you're going to be making a lot of money.
That's rough.
Yeah. So I don't really get the line. I don't know if I've bet Verna yet or if I'm going to, but she will be a bet this week. Not saying she's definitely going to win, but I don't see why she is such an underdog at all. Would you have blown your mind if you saw open up the odds and it was minus 175 Verna?
Nope.
Would you have been like, no, you've been like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like I wouldn't have. So that's what I'm saying. I don't really get it. All right, let's move on. Julio Arce taking on Herbie Burns. That is the younger brother of Gilbert. And if you guys don't remember this, and I do, brotherly love.
He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
Yeah. I mean, Gilbert carried like a little baby, like a little
baby boy,
carried his little brother out of the ring when he got knocked the fuck out. It was one of the cutest things I've ever seen in all of my years of watching UFC.
It's right up there with Junior Albini shorts.
Yeah, I do remember that as well. Junior Albini and his man baby diaper.
Diaper shorts.
Junior Albini is no longer in the UFC, but you can find him on the man baby forums over on reddit.com if you go and look. He's available there.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Do not look at the man baby forums on reddit.com. I'm sorry I mentioned it. I assume that it exists, but I have never seen them myself.
Okay, here we go.
Arce is minus 400. Burns is plus 300. Fight ends inside the distance. Solid. Minus 325. So, you know, a couple of finishers here. We've seen Burns knock. We've seen Burns knock out one of the guys on the main card here. Was it Buckley?
Landwehr.
Oh, it was Landwehr. Yeah, there we go. We've seen him knock out Landwehr, but not known. He's a bit more of a grappler. So, Monk, do you see this fight close at all? I mean, Arce, a massive favorite, high inside the distance prop. Just click on Julio and move on.
I hate this fight, to be quite honest. I really don't like it. Julio hasn't fought since November of 2022 against Montel Jackson. He lost that fight very handily. His last two wins are Daniel Santos and Andre Ewell. So unimpressive, scored 87 and 81. And now this dude's coming off of an L a year and a half ago, and he's the most expensive fighter on the card. He is fighting Herbert Burns, lost to Daniel Pineda. Not a terrible loss. Lost to Bill Algeo. Not a terrible loss. That was a terrible visual, since he was the most tired I've ever seen a human being in my entire life. Like I said, beat Landwehr. I don't know what to think about that. Beat him by knockout.
Was that, I don't that know kind how, of a lucky win? I mean, I don't know. That was a good win for him.
I feel like you have to play some of Arce, but I'm not excited to be honest, for the round, the obvious early upside, because who knows what Burns looks like. Surprisingly, Arce, only 34 years old and younger than Burns here. That Burns is fought July of 2022, so it's been even longer for Herbert the Blaze Burns, kind of an awesome yet terribly awesome nickname. I don't know, man. I'm picking Arce to win. I'd love to hear if you guys think Burns has a shot, and should we roster him at 6,700? I probably don't think so, but I don't know, man. I'm not excited for this. But you got to play Arce for some early upside, I suppose.
The Burns win at 6,700 is how you win a tournament.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sorry. I mean, it's just how you win
tournaments. Is that going to happen, though? I don't know.
I never think it's going to happen with any of these guys. Yeah, until that's true. Like, I didn't think fucking that woman was going to beat Marina Agapova either. But Shayna Dobson. Yeah. And you know, next thing you know, she not only wins, but she puts up like 115. Like, you got to play this. Like, sometimes when it makes you sick.
Yeah.
You got to play it. And Burns has a finishing skill, Sniper. He can submit you. He does have grappling. He knows how to grapple. He has submission upside.
He's super dangerous in round one. And you waited this long on me, but clearly you didn't look at my notes yet, because I maybe picked Herbert Burns.
You picked Herbert Burns to win the fight.
I did. Look, I cannot play Julio Arce at 9,500.
Wild, bro.
It's crazy. But the fight is minus 350 to end inside the distance. You got to have exposure to it. Herbert Burns, super good grappler, and he got Landwehr on the feet. He's incredibly dangerous in round one. He just gasses like a motherfucker. If he gets out of round one, unless he's made significant improvements, he's in trouble and Arce beats him. But 9,500, a round two Arce win probably doesn't destroy me. Arce's too expensive. Herbert Burns is really good on the ground, clear path to victory, really dangerous in round one if Arce isn't minding his P's and Q's, and I've never been high on Julio Arce. The line is too wide. I'll take the stab on Herbert Burns, and if I'm wrong, I mean, I picked a plus somebody who's plus 300. I'm not gonna look. That's, you know, I'm taking a stab here. It's not like I'm saying go all in max bet him. I'm saying I have no problem laying down a 0.33 units to win a unit.
Cool. You want to be really surprised? Herbert Burns is Brazilian.
It's true.
You want to know what his middle name is?
Steroids. Please say
Steroidinho.
I mean, you would think these guys are bringing steroids. His middle name is Mitchell.
Stop it.
Like, is there a more American middle name?
T and everything? Two L's and a T?
Mitchell. Yeah, like spelled in the full American way of spelling.
Interesting.
It's just weird. Mitchell. I just saw that and I'm like,
his what's Gilbert's middle name?
I mean, I don't know, but Mitchell? I mean, is there a more Midwestern kind of a name than Mitchell? Mitch?
No, there's not.
Can you even pronounce that word in Brazilian? Mitchell. Like what?
Right.
Sniper, am I crazy? What the fuck kind of middle name is Mitchell for a Brazilian?
I don't know, and I gotta tell you, I don't really care. Just
you don't care about stuff like this?
Just win me some money, bro.
All right. Well,
just go out, knock out Julio Arce in the first round.
I thought it was weird. Sniper doesn't think it's weird. Listen, $9,500.
Cool. I appreciated it.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, if we're talking factoids today, I figured
Gilbert has two middle names for the record. Alexander Pontes.
Okay. Alexander, though. Again, Alexander, I can accept in Brazil.
Oh, Mitchell? Dashy Larry hooking it up, too. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Mitchell? Weird one. All right. Listen, you don't need to pay $9,500 for Julio Arce on a card with nine fights that have massive inside the distance props. You got to get a taste of all of these fights. And up next, we got another good one here. Connor Matthews taking on Dennis Bazooka, aka Dennis Bazooka, or something like that.
Bazooka.
Calling him Bazooka, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bazooka Dennis. It's a pick 'em fight. It's a pick'em fight with the inside the distance prop. No, -135 to go the distance. So nondescript fight. Admittedly, I have not researched this fight, Monk, so I don't have anything to say about it.
Tell me,
what's the story here?
Yeah, man. I mean, we got one guy with no wins in the UFC and one guy with no UFC fight. So Bazooka lost to Sean Woodson by decision back in August. Lost to Jamal Emmers also on this card. He's the guy that got knocked out in less than a minute by Jamal Emmers. I think it was right up against the cage too. It was kind of a ridiculous knockout to witness, especially from Emmers. Matthews does have two Dana White Contender Series fights. Lost to Fire Marshal Bill Francis Marshall by decision. He was taken down six times in that fight, controlled for 40% of those 15 minutes. Then he fights Yair Farias decision. Would have scored 108. He himself is the one taking down Farias. Seven takedowns landed, controls for 30% of that fight. So I don't know, man. His takedown defense is super sus. His takedown offense seems to be there for a guy that can't stop takedowns. Can Dennis Bazooka stop takedown? Sean Woodson took him down four times. Jamal Emmers didn't even have a chance because
Sean Woodson was sleeping. Who has no grappling?
Yeah, so. So I don't know, man. Part of me wants to play Connor Matthews, but the price is not great. $7,800, a little pricey. But Dennis Bazooka, despite his nickname being the Great, has yet to show any of that, really. So I'm willing to take a dog shot, not knowing much about it. Bazooka, let's see, 60% of his pro fights go to decision. Four knockouts, one submission for Bazooka. Connor Matthews, 62.5% of his fights end by him submitting his opponent. So Bazooka has yet to be submitted, can be taken down. I guess I'm willing to take a shot on the Connor with two ends. Just see what happens here, I guess.
Can't drop the hard end. What are you doing?
Look, two of them.
You spent more time in this fight than anybody should.
No, maybe this is a good fight. Maybe this is the fight that everybody ignores, that winds up being the tournament special.
I feel like you're mad. I didn't like your factoid and you just want to say something opposite.
Anytime anybody doesn't like one of my factoids.
I love the accents. We haven't done an accent yet on this podcast. We need more accents.
Yeah. Have I not? Oh, geez. They're coming. They're coming. So, Bazoikia. I don't know. Could there be grappling upside? Is there any reason to play this fight? Sniper, you tell me. I mean, I told you.
I really can't find any. The only person Bazoikia took down was Melsik Bogdasarian, who, if I remember right, I think a stiff win could take down Melsik Bogdasarian at this point. Connor Matthews, I guess, is okay. I don't fucking... This fight... I don't see scoring potential for either one. There is a huge... There's just so many... We haven't even talked about the other all-in fight coming in Aslan and Dhrkali that's right next to it in terms of... Like, why? I don't need this fight.
Yeah,
this
there is another one. Cool. This is just bizarre. Francis Marshall, like you said, Monk, takes down Connor Matthews 6 times in their fight. And then Connor Matthews is like, he's like, challenge
you can do accepted. That?
Yeah, he's like, challenge accepted. And then he goes in and he takes down his opponent 7 times. I'm just saying, like, anybody who could even do this 7 takedowns in a single fight is not necessarily somebody I need to ignore against a mediocre opponent. So I think if I had to, based on the stats and without having seen any fights from these two fellows, I would say Connor Matthews' side worth a little sniff, a little taste, maybe. Yeah, and especially since, Bazooka has been getting bazooka'd by every opponent that he's faced so far. So, plus his nickname is really stupid. So all of those reasons.
See, I like that one. That was funny.
Yeah, just it's stupid. The Great? Is your name Alex? What the fuck is up with that name? It has nothing to do with anything. All right, here we go. This is the one that Sniper's been waiting for the whole time.
Monk, too. Look at his name in Discord.
I have seen your name in Discord, and I believe it. I thought it was a Narnia thing, to be honest with you. I thought we were talking something completely different. So,
Monk is super biased. I don't know if you watch the shows while you were out with football. His hatred for Anton Dhrkali is
known.
Like it is somewhat known. Legendary. Fucking hates this guy.
It's mostly to do with the name. I've heard Monk just go off on the pleasure man. And just so the fact good. That he chose that as his name makes you hate him.
Well, yeah, and the fact that literally everyone else in the world thinks it's awesome, except for me.
I think it's great. Can I lay out
his father? You know, his very own father nicknamed him the Pleasure Man.
That's a little disturbing.
There we go. I am Monk the Truther.
I have to lay this. I know, Geek, it's your job, but this is one of the most interesting things I've seen in MMA in a while. We got a guy in Aslan making his UFC debut at 12-1, fucking steamrolling everybody he's fought, taking on his opponent who's 0-4 in the UFC. But the one loss Aslan has in his career is to that guy, the Pleasure Man, Anton Dhrkali.
Oh, like, he's here to make up for it. I forgot to mention that the fight, it's a pick 'em fight, but it is minus 400 to end inside the Monk, this is you got to have 100% exposure. Minus 400 inside the distance. The Pleasure Man is involved. That's a lock button L.
Yep. So I mean... 0-3, we've got Jailton Petrino, Tyson Pedro. Oh my goodness. It's been a pleasure watching this guy fight for me, that's for sure. Ebo, the businessman, Aslan, that is not his nickname, but it fucking should be for this fight. Give me Ebo Aslan. Look, this is a makeup fight. This is a get back fight. Ebo should come out here and win.
Look at this dude.
Exactly. That was nice. Ebo should knock this dude out. He's been knocked out by Dhrkali, subbed by Almeida first minute. Petrino, I don't know what happened there. He got taken down a bunch of times, is what happened there. That's Petrino's what I'm hoping for Islam. 8,300 is wild for a guy that has a supreme round one upside against Dhrkali.
Can the ass man ass man stop a takedown?
Ass man. I don't think it doesn't appear so. It does not appear that way. So I have to then say you also have to play Dhrkali. I will unfortunately be rostering the Pleasure Man because if Aslan doesn't finish this fight early, it's just gonna be he's gonna wrestle fuck Ebo to death.
It won't be pleasurable.
And I will be very, it will not be pleasurable for me. I will be a very sad boy. I always root against her. It is comical at this point. But I gotta stick with the cards that I dealt myself. So yeah, give me Eva.
What's worse, the nickname or the photograph that the photograph Tapology is bad. Chooses to use to show? He doesn't even look like this, by the way.
That's bad.
He that's looks his so pleasure different. Face. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's clear. You've seen obvious. Show me your. So let me see your O face.
They found a picture of him pleasuring himself. For the photograph, the like, what is bro, that?
There's a backdrop. Is he in a mall somewhere? Who knows? A mall in Sweden? I have no idea. Know, yeah, give me Ebo to win by vicious knockout. The Ebo, business man. Are you Ebo, here on business or pleasure, Ebo yeah. Aslan? Both.
There's a rivalry between the Turks and the Swedes. It's not a lot of people know about it.
It's heavy.
There is a lot of rivalry between those two countries. The Turks
down go changing sports. Down goes Arizona.
Boy. Sweden is not known as a country that produces tough men.
Yeah, that is the step.
Hot blonde chicks. That's known for that.
IKEA, nice little meatballs.
Great furniture.
Great. Some cheap.
Their most well-known fighter before Pleasure Man. Was that little dude, that little wrestler, heavyweight guy, who scores 45 points in a win? I can't remember his name right now. The short 5'9" heavyweight from Sweden.
Oh, right in the tip of my tongue. Oh, fought Ovince St. Preux.
He's like he's the only heavyweight. No, 5'9". Alir Latifi was their best offering before the Pleasure Man.
I mean, they are going to claim Khamzat Chimaev, and really,
oh, get out of here! If your name's Khamzat Chimaev, you're not Swedish.
What about Gustafsson?
No, okay, yeah, I'll allow it. I'll allow it. He's fine. Now, Sniper, this guy Turkali, though, as weird as he seems to be, he does go for a lot of takedowns.
Is that so the best nickname in mixed martial arts?
Like, do you think he's going to get a bunch of takedowns against Ebo Assman?
No, I got Aslan as a core play running right through him, getting that W back. But a similar situation to my love for Ruzaboyev. Whatever Ruzaboyev lineups I don't have, we'll have Dumas. Whatever Aslan lineups I don't have, we'll probably have Anton Turkali. Yep. This is the other all-in fight in the card.
Yep.
Got to get some exposure to it, and it's just kind of how it is in this one. It's Aslan's either going to run through him or Takai's going to take him down and probably submit him.
The pricing is too tempting here for a minus 500 to end inside a distance type of fight. It's crazy. And again, we don't like Turkali, loses all the time, but you know, he does go for takedowns sometimes when he's not getting knocked out like in seconds. Like, if you give him a few minutes, he will go for a takedown. So, you know, he could score. He scored 59 in a loss in a single fight. So, you know, I'm going to allow it. All right, let's move on, guys. We are rolling through a very big card. Next up, we've got, and Sniper's over there just like making Prize Picks plays on the side. He's like fucking picking out Prize Picks spots to crush. You know what?
Put a back-to-back 25 X's in the Discord. I hit one last night. Will hit one two nights ago.
Yeah, guys, I'm going to take a moment here before we finish up to mention that Sniper is one of the leads in the DFS Army, Pick'em subscription, right? And it's player prop games, sleeper, prize picks, underdog, all those games. It's just another way to do DFS. It's fun. It's easy. It's not like, unlike DraftKings, you can give out lineups. So, holy shit, did the tracker change on me? I don't even know what I'm seeing. Hold on a second. But I'm going to show you guys what they've been doing. But Sniper and Will Lin dropping plays in the Discord.
Well, I didn't hide a tab. Sorry, I was changing something. I was, go ahead and hit refresh. I was adding KBO because Will crushes Korean baseball.
I just want people to see this to understand what's been going on. And especially if you're watching this and you're a DFS Army subscriber, you might not know that we have this going on in the Discord. So I want you guys to be aware. We track every single ticket that Sniper and Will Lin, 6-pick banger. $25 into 625. There it is. See, you fucking fill out the form when you hit those 25 Xers. You know, the form gets filled out real quick. But take a look at this, guys. In the last 3 days, they've risked $450, profited 1,000. Now you might say, all right, Sniper hit a 25X, whatever.
So do Will, though. There's two 25Xs in the last.
Yeah, he did a Korean baseball one. Will, I can't play Prize Picks in New York, so I just religiously follow his prop plays on the sports book. But last 7 days, up $1,600 on $2,000 of entries. 30 days, up $2,500. Every single ticket is tracked here, guys. This is not fucking around.
And there's plenty of losing a couple days, by the way, but in the long run,
you're going to lose. This is creating parlays. And if you think you're going to win every fucking five, four, five, and six leg parlay, good luck with that. But last 30 days, up 2,500. 2024 year to date, up $7,000. This is a subscription that costs $35 a month, Monk.
It's under $30 with code Sniper20.
$35 and you're making $1,600, $2,500 in 30 days?
This is a $35 subscription. Get the Proptimizer, Will Lynn, and Sniper dropping these plays. These are tracked year to date, $7,736 on $36,000 worth of entries. The payout, $44,000. These are, everything's tracked. Since the beginning of NFL 2024, up $17,000 on a $35 a month subscription. And oh, by the way, if you're a DFS Army VIP, which hopefully everybody who's watching this video already is, FYI, we have a channel in the Discord for Prize Pick Sleeper and all that shit. You want to be following Sniper and Will Lynn. You got to be up all night for Will Lynn because he's dropping those KBO.
Yeah,
he's in California.
The West Coast.
They're hitting on 2 a.m. I'm up at 2 a.m. I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. I have it on. I have notifications on.
By the way, if you're a VIP and you're in here, I dropped today. Go to the announcement channel in Discord. And there are all the deposit matches for Prize Picks, Underdog, Sleeper. They will match you 100% up to $100. Go, like, make sure you take advantage of those codes when you guys go and sign up, all in Discord right now.
The people who are watching it, don't give me commercials. Go back to the show. But you know what? A lot of the people who are going to watch this breakdown are DFS Army subscribers already. They're already in our Discord, and they don't even know. They don't even know that this is going on. We can't, you know, giving you lineups to try to take down a tournament for MMA on DraftKings. Good luck with that. Like, it's one, your chances going into that contest are 1 in 32,000.
Just last week,
I don't have that winning lineup.
Just last week, we smashed a 5 for 5 underdog MMA only pick. I put that play out there.
Booyah. I used to love Prize Picks for MMA until they took it away.
Check out Underdog. You can still do it.
In New York?
Yep.
Really?
Underdog's still legal. I play it all the time. I'm in New York too. My Prize Picks plays, I post for the members, and then I play whatever I can of the sports book and an underdog. And then I also, an MMA underdog still works.
You just blew my mind.
Yep.
You just fucking blew my mind. All right.
Prize Picks got banned because they don't pay their taxes.
No, I don't think that's what it is. They pay their taxes. All right. Melissa Gatto taking on Victoria Dudakavo.
Oh, let's go Melissa, back to talking about Prize Picks.
Melissa, how you doing, Gatto? No. All right, I tried. It's -140 for Melissa Gatto. Fight ends in fight goes the distance, -180. So we got another one, Monk, here that is destined for decision potentially. How do you see this one going down?
Yeah, Dudakova in her first win, she got, because I mean she beat Nunes, but Nunes dislocated her elbow in 30 seconds. She got the quick win bonus. In her second fight, she fought Jin Yu Fry, outstruck her, landed 5 strikes a minute, but got taken down and controlled for basically an entire round, scored only 77. Gatto's on a 2-fight losing streak to Lipsky and Cortez. She beat Eubanks, Leonardo. Each fight, both of these women have one good score and one terrible score, basically. So I'm going to go with Gatto. I think she has more well-rounded skills overall. And she's kind of, well, they're about the same as scoring, I guess, about 3 points per minute. So this is one I'm much more excited for the main event women's flyweight fight than I am for this one.
Yeah.
And the salary is $85.77, kind of middling. I'm more interested in other fights personally. I mean, if you guys have a reason that I should look at this one, but I'm not digging too hard into this one, I don't think.
Sniper, what do you think? Melissa Gatto, at least she's got real wins. You know, I have to upgrade her loss to Tracy Cortez. Tracy Cortez is pretty good.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah, and Ariane Lipsky has been better of late than she was in the early run of her career. And I actually think she's been fine. So she's been a little bit better. So those losses are not terrible. She got real wins. Carol Hosa and Sarge. Due to COVID, just, you know, eking one out against Jinyu Fry is...
Jinyu Fry is not terrible, though. I actually like Dudikova as a dog in the spot. I'm not very high on Melissa Gatto. The win over Sarge Eubank is okay. Victoria, like, she's okay everywhere. I like Dudikova. I think also Dudikova's style is really going to suffocate the points out of this fight for DraftKings. She loves to be in the clinch, strike. I mean, grab in there, little strikes. I don't see ton of takedowns in this one. I think you have to take that. If anyone's going to land a takedown, it's actually Dudikova actually lands more of those trip
takedowns. Yeah, Dudikova's gotten a lot of takedowns. So, she's been, and you know, Melissa Gatto, not exactly good. Neither one of these have any takedown defense.
So I think Dudikova's a little better. I think her style's a little bit, you know, a little more apt to win some judges' scorecards. I'm with Monk, though. I don't think it's a good fight to target. I just like Dudikova because she's a dog and it's kind of a secondary option for me.
Yeah, I agree across the board. I don't really see paying the chalk for Melissa Gatto here. I don't see how she can score that many points in this fight, even if she wins it. It's basically for the DraftKings purposes, for the scoring purposes. That's not something I would bet at all, but it's Dudikova or pass, and it's probably a pass here for me. I'm leaning more on the pass side than
Dudikova or pass, and it's pass.
Yeah, it's probably
my favorite line so far.
I think Dudikova could get it done. Like, what's her salary? That's what I wanted to say.
77.
77.
Yeah, she's right.
Exactly.
There. Yeah, it's right there. It's kind of, you know. All right, let's talk about what could be an interesting fight here. Andre Petroski and Jacob Malkoon going at it. Malkoon at -230. Comeback is +185 for Petroski. I don't expect a high inside the distance prop here, and it isn't. Fight goes the distance, -150. So three rounds of fighting action expected here. Monk, you know, we all know about Malkoon. He's a grappler. He wants to wrestle. He wants to stifle.
Absolutely.
Can he get that done against Petroski?
I don't know. I mean, anytime Malkoon fights, I'm always like, ooh, DraftKings points, because he goes off when he wins. I mean, against Al-Hassani, scored a ton. Dobson, Maximov, you know, he was on his way to a shitload of points if he wasn't trying to be a dirty little cheater against Cody Brundage. I mean, landed no less than 40 shots to the back of the head, for sure. But, I mean, very close fight with Brendan Allen. On paper, he won that fight. So yeah, we could be looking at a 5-0, you know, Jacob Malkoon here in his last five. But I do like Petroski. I mean, he looked like terrible outside of the Pajeda fight. I mean, or in the Pajeda fight, first minute win basically for Michel Pajeda. But Petroski beats Mearshart split decision. Turman ran through Maximov, just ran through him. Something Malkoon was. I mean, he dominated him for 15 minutes, but he did not finish him. I just think Petroski has better. I think defensively, he's not going to allow as many takedowns as Malkoon usually scores. And the last thing I'll say about this, Malkoon lands 44% of his takedowns. Petroski, 55% of his takedowns, 7.2 per 15 and 4.5 per 15. Malkoon has a 0% takedown defense. Granted, it's only 3-on-3 attempts, but Petroski, 2-of-7. So 71% takedown defense. I don't know, man. I think this line is too wide, bottom line. I'm on the Petroski side. I think he's going to be a fantastic play for DraftKings if he wins. And I don't know that Malkoon scores 130 points like he's been doing against Andre Petroski in a decision win. So give me Petroski. I think the upside's there. I love the salary. And I'll play some of Malkoon too, of course. I think this is a huge GPP fight.
These metrics are crazy for these guys.
It's wild. They have seven optimal lineups between them in their last 11 fights.
Yeah, these are guys that really score well. Malkoon, 7 takedowns per 15, and that's not the one fight number, Monk. That's a fight. That's a number compiled over a lot.
It's like six fights, I think.
Yeah, over a lot of fights. And same for Petroski. five takedowns. These guys, it's not just going to be Malkoon going for takedown sniper. Petroski will be going for and getting takedowns. And oh, by the way, he's a BJJ guy where I don't know if Malkoon is that, or Malkoon might just be more of a grappler wrestler. No, Aussie wrestler.
Listen, Monk, that breakdown you just gave, probably the best you've done on the podcast so far.
Oh, nice.
I'm with you. I'm all about Petroski here. Petroski and Landwehr are my two big dogs of the card. Trying to give you the little okie doke. I don't think I really pulled it off, but Malkoon is a guy I've constantly doubting. And to his credit, he keeps wrestle fucking guys who can't wrestle. I don't think Petroski is him. Petroski can wrestle. The way Malkoon wins this fight is Petroski, I think, is prone to gassing. And Malkoon does appear to have a decent wrestling gas tank. So that is how Malkoon wins. He pushes the pace, gets him to grapple. Petroski doesn't find early success. Malkoon takes over late. But I think Malkoon is a bit of a fraud, as we've seen by guys who commit egregious fouls. Look, we just saw it was one of the Basharat brothers who got his penance for the Victor Henry nut kick.
Yeah.
I think Malkoon's about to get his penance for the back of the head bludgeoning of Cody Brundage in that fight. It's odd too, because Brundage is kind of like Petroski light in some cases, but Petroski is way better. So give me Petroski here. I do think the line's too wide. I'm picking him straight. Landwehr and Petroski, the two dogs I bet straight up already, in addition to the Luque and Aslan plays I put out. So that's, and I have more spots I'm looking at. I'm glad I'm going to this card. There's plenty to bet, but
so many underdogs. You just got to bet these dogs.
Yeah.
Like there's too many dogs that are live.
Of course, this one's at a crazy number.
Yeah. A lot of live dogs on this card, but unlike last week where when you found, we all picked the $6,700 guy to win last week. Let's be real on the show. Like that dude who won, who was the $6,700, he wasn't a big underdog. He was like +130 and we all picked him to win.
Jarno Aaron.
Back to the well here with Herbie Burns too.
Yeah.
Right back. I don't mind it with Burns, but like there are other ones that are more likely to win. But the point is, on this card, when you have those dogs, there are favorites to pay up for that will make it worth your while to discover an underdog that pays off. We've already kind of discovered a bunch of all-in fights. So let's see what happens with this last one. Angel Pacheco taking on Kaolin Lauren. I know there's got to be
Lachran.
Yeah, Lachran. There we go. Irish. Kaolin -360. Come back on Pacheco +295. Ends inside the distance -180. Let's go individual. Oh, gross. Pacheco inside the distance +500. Ugh. And Lachran -125. I knew it had like that Irishy way that it doesn't pronounce the way it looks, but I forgot how it's pronounced. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Shaughnessy.
Mm-hmm.
Shag Hennessy. Or Dougherty. Mm-hmm. Admiral Dougherty. All right. So anyway, Monk, where were we? Pacheco, Lauren. Pacheco, no inside the distance prop at all, but had some volume in that loss to, in that one loss anyway.
Yeah, we just talked about him actually. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I can't remember exactly. We're in a long run of cards here. But he fought. Well, if you're gonna get it right, you got to spell Ian Gary's name right. Angel Pacheco. He fought Danny Silva. Landed 197 strikes on Silva. We talked about the no defense from Silva in that fight. Well, he got hit with 200 and forced. There were 13 strikes apiece for each guy in this DWCS fight. Absolutely wild. Pacheco, I don't know, man. He got taken down twice in that one. Kaolin Lachran should come here and just wrestle this dude to death is what I think. I think Lachran is probably my number one cash play overall at 9,400. Really like the play this week. I think he has potential to score fantastically, even in a decision. And if he gets a finish, more power to him. But I think we see a lot of control time, a few takedowns at least. And most importantly for big DraftKings scores, those non-significant strikes. If he gets Pacheco down and just starts dropping bombs that might not count for significant strikes, he's still going to score a ton. That's one of the big things that that makes for big scores. So give me Kylan Loughran. Love him for cash this week. If you can get him in your GPP lineup, sure. But I'm going cash on Loughran.
Sniper, if you play all those underdogs you think are going to win, then you have no problem getting Kallen in your lineup.
I can go Stars and Scrubs. The 3.9K, 3.7K build is totally in play.
But no, we have lock buttons in the middle that you have to play. Yeah. So it's not even like you need that many.
Yeah, you can go 2-2-2. Sure. Yeah,
something like that.
Totally fine with that. You can get different and miss one of the lock buttons in the middle and go, you can go 3-1-2. There's a lot of stuff you can do. Yeah, I like Kallen. I think Monk's a little bit higher than I am. I want to see what he's going to do. He's a little bit young in his UFC career. Am I really going to trust him to go out and grapple this guy? I think he's better on the feet too, which is the concerning part. I'm fine with it. I like the play. I do think he wins pretty comfortably. I'm just not as high on the fight overall as Monk. But yeah, I'm all about Loughran.
Let's also point out that Angel has done nothing that earned him his place into the UFC. There's no contender series win. It's right. Just like he went from Bud Brawl 2 to a call to come to the UFC. How does that happen? Like he's fighting Bud Brawl 2. Dylan, what the hell's the Bud Light sponsor? Dylan, he's fighting Dylan Mulvaney in Bud Brawl 2, and now he's in the UFC. How the hell did this happen?
Probably because he landed 200 strikes against somebody that landed 200 strikes on him. It was probably a fantastic fight. And Dana's like, you guys both are going to get a shot. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
And they get here and he's like, oh, shit.
I have to give both these guys a shot.
He doesn't even have a contender series fight. Like, how the hell is this guy even in the UFC right now?
Well, he's got a contender series fight, not a win, though.
He lost. That's right. He has a loss. Like, what? So I guess it was violent. So Dana White's like, okay, you can fight in the UFC, but I think the Don is going to, the Don will have spoken here. He's going to give him an offer he can't refuse.
There it is. Nailed it.
I went with a whole new view on screen right now. I'm just clicking buttons on the StreamYard here, just getting crazy. This is the best you've looked, Sniper. In this view, we got to skinny you up a little bit.
That's true. Yeah. Wow, that's, you know, like my beautiful Go-Gru background and all this shit I got.
No, it's better like this. All right. So, kill shot for this card. There's a lot of them. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, so Justin is saying he had a lot of heart in that fight. But like that heart, I get it. I love it and all of that. It does help you win fights, but you also have to prove that you're like...
When your best attribute's your toughness, you suck ass.
Yeah.
You said that last week against somebody, and it was right.
Yeah, but having heart is a good thing.
Let's add it to your skills.
Let's add it to your skills. All right, so... Kill shot for this card. I've got a bunch of bets on underdogs. So I'm going to let you go first, Sniper, as you love... How about burn? Like, maybe don't burn one of the better ones.
I mean, I said Nate the Train earlier, so I like Nate the Train. If I can't have Nate the Train, I'm going to take Petroski. It's my 1-1A. Give out doubles this week. I like both those guys.
Petroski for the kill shot, nut play. All right, I like it. How about you, Monk? What do you got for a kill shot for us on this one?
Well, I figured Sniper is going to take Landwehr. I already threw Petroski in the Discord. That was going to be my number one kill shot is Andre Petroski this week.
I love it. I love both of those, Landwehr, Petroski.
If you're forcing me to choose a different one,
I'm not.
Okay, cool. Then I won't say another name.
That one is fine. Totally fine play. I'm going to go with, I like this guy for a win, but not necessarily, you know, I don't want to put it Weidman in here. I just feel really weird about it. But if it's not Weidman for me, because I like both of your kill shots, it will be Verna.
Yep.
But I'm going to go Weidman here. Let's go with the cheap guy at 6,900 that I definitely think is going to win the first round and then probably get knocked out in round two.
I mean, at least you have good expectations.
And then we never have to hear John Cougar Mellencamp in the UFC ever again.
You think he takes the gloves off at the end of the fight? Drops them?
If he gets knocked out.
Depends on how it looks, yeah.
If he gets knocked out, yes, he's in Jersey. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
This would be the retirement fight, isn't it? It's a, like I said, if you happen to follow along with that belt, yeah, it has to be a dog. Yeah, we don't allow it would be Fiero 100% for me, Justin. We don't allow it to be the main event fighter, but yes, Fiero 100%. That would be you know, solid. So that would be the one I would go with. A lot of live dogs on this card, boys. Should be a fun one to make lineups for. Listen, good luck this week, everybody. We want to see you guys at the top of the leaderboards, helmet up. Don't forget to check out, of course, the prop sub at DFS Army and the MMA subscription, all the things we got going on. We just started MLB today and already a 20K winner in MLB day one, taking down tourneys. Day one, there is no optimizer better at MLB than the domination station at DFS Army. Let them all talk. No one fucks with it. No one fucks with it. So get in there. Good luck this week. Helmets up. We'll see you guys next time.
Later, guys.